Do you remember any of President Johnson being on Air Force One coming back?
Yeah, I remember the later broadcast of the tape of the swearing-in ceremony. I remember that, and I remember very clearly my dad and I were, of course, glued to the TV set. My dad was really kind of a TV junkie, at least as far as news and information. I don't think he thought much of being a theater person, didn't really think that much of some of the newer situation comedies and the format, but... I was sitting there with my dad, and we just stared in disbelief as Jack Ruby stepped up and shot Oswald. The transfer of Oswald was being carried live on one of the affiliate stations. I can't remember which one.
I saw it live, too.
But it was just remarkable. And it was just so unbelievable. My dad jumped out of the seat, started hollering for my mother. And it scared the dickens out of me. I remember that very, very clearly. I also remember the funeral procession. I remember Arthur Godfrey announcing that as the cortege or whatever went down the avenue. And then seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like they broke in with a special news item that Oswald had died. Mm-hmm. During the actual Kennedy funeral procession, it seems like.
And they
like.
Showed it in the whole bit.
Yeah.
I remember that. And I guess you remember later on the Beatles coming to America.
Yeah, I remember that.
You were into
that.
The Beatles, I guess.
Well, somewhat. I was kind of raised on more. I took music at a very young age, and my dad was definitely not a fan of rock and roll, and so I was kind of steered toward a broader musical appreciation. So. I remember my parents were not impressed with the Beatles whatsoever, but we begged, it wasn't just me instigating it, but my brothers as well begged to be able to watch the Ed Sullivan Show that night and see the Beatles. And I remember sitting there watching that. I wasn't in awe or anything. It was just something going on that everybody else seemed to be interested in, you know.
I guess moving on to 1965, there was a lot of, again, the war was escalating in Vietnam, and there was a lot of riots, Americanization of the war begins. But the main thing for you, I guess, is your theater work started in 1965.
About that time, I don't really remember the first time I went into a theater. My mother and father were very, very active in local community theater, and had been for many years before I came around. But I started being taken to rehearsals. My mother would always go down and fix coffee. If she wasn't in the show, she would bring coffee pot and rolls and muffins and things and bring them down to the cast for rehearsals. And I remember tagging along. And then as I got a little bit older, started helping out, you know, painting and whatnot. We were all enlisted in that effort. So I remember doing that. It wasn't until 1970 that I actually performed the role for the first time.
What was your first play?
The first play was a play called Peck's Bad Boy, and it actually was a play dating to, I think, just before the turn of the century. It was an old kind of melodramatic farce kind of thing, and the little theater in my hometown was celebrating its 100th anniversary of community theater in the Dalton area, and they went back through the history books there and found the first play on record that they could find had been performed, and that was it. So they decided, well, let's do this for the 100th anniversary. And I played the bad boy.
Did you play it well?
I think so. According to my older brother, I did. He
did all your family... Were they in the play too, or just you?
Well, in that play, my older brother George played my father in it, and we were the only two of my family that was in that show. But later on, we did shows where just about all of us were involved. My dad died in 1969, and so he never lived to see me actually perform on stage. And my mother was somewhat reluctant for yet another one to get involved, because she always felt that it was best to. You know, in community theater, you don't want to have a lot of a single family type of thing. You just felt like the Davies name had been kind of overexposed and didn't really want to see me do that play. But she consented and got hooked on it and doing it ever since.
And you've enjoyed it, too. That's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
Going back to 66, there was student deferments, the Black Panthers were formed, and the airstrikes in Vietnam were escalating. Any thoughts there?
No, don't remember that much. Not, you know, from that period.
Sure. There was a lot of anti-war demonstrations. Mm-hmm. I remember a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
Just tons of them on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember my folks saying, look at those hippies, you know, look at those
I remember
hippies.
That, too. Yeah, you know, I remember that, too.
They're the ones that's mm-hmm. causing all these problems,
right.
You know, not the other thing around. Not until did we realize when people came back from Vietnam
mm-hmm.
what was really going on there.
Well, the issue that my parents pushed, and my dad being a World War II veteran, it wasn't so much because of their political views. I mean, we live in a democratic society. This is a free society, and freedom of speech is very, very dear to us. And I don't think his issue was with that. It was more the fact that there were servicemen doing their duty in a foreign country and dying, and that there appeared to be just a total lack of respect for that. And now I think a lot of people look back on that period and see that, you know, we could have treated those folks a little bit better. You know, they got spat on and were called baby killers and this and that and the other when they came back. But it was basically a poor man's war, and you went. And I know my oldest brother, Bruce, went down to enlist and went all the way up through the physical. And he got in there for one of the examinations or something and turned around. And the doctor said, what's that scar there? And he said, well, that's where I had a kidney taken out. And he said, well, sorry, you can't go. But my oldest brother, Bruce, tried to enlist for the Marines, no less. So, I don't know if that's
really
yeah. Well, but I mean, it was just something that was seen by a lot of Americans at that time. Is that okay? You go and you serve, you do your duty, and that I think that was really my dad and my mother's issue about all the anti-war protests. I don't remember them speaking that much about their hippie views or this and that and the other, or free love and all of that. It was just purely the fact that they are demonstrating against a war in which young men and women are dying in, and that more respect was due.
I think I had a problem with seeing on TV demonstrations, number one, and I knew friends and family members that were in Vietnam, you
mm-hmm.
know. I did not want war, and I would have, you know, if I'd have enough guts, I guess, protested against the war, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, from a small southern town, you just stay in your place and you
mm-hmm.
just, you know, don't do things
mm-hmm.
like that. And my family were very conservative, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, we just didn't do things like that. But I can remember the thing that really, really bothered me most was the burning of the flag and
mm-hmm.
the burning of the draft card,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
the little things that you have. But that always has just, I can still
yeah.
see it,
yeah.
you know, in my mind, knowing that we had people over there, but yet they were doing it here,
right.
you know. But the demonstrations changed a lot of things in American history and
mm-hmm.
the way that we do things now. Yeah.
Well, I would agree with that to a certain extent. I do feel very strongly that by the end of Johnson's administration, I believe that the primary reason that Johnson did not seek re-election was that he was really a lame duck because of the Vietnam War. And I think that it was realized that unless you go in with a 100% commitment to win the conflict and stay away from this police action, it was a non-declared war. And I think Johnson realized very on, later on, that it was a losing proposition. And that
the only people that were winning were generals and the people who made a lot of money after the war.
Well, I would say yes. A lot of people that did profit from it. But I mean, the reason that we were there was justified to a certain extent. But if you're going to try to accomplish something like that, much as we did in Grenada and several other places, you've got to go in and do it. You
mm-hmm.
can't just sit by. And I think that's really what, you know, Johnson, you know, I think it destroyed him. You realize that he was responsible for so many lives being lost in that, including some of his own family, very close to him.
And every night it was
numbers. But when the Nixon administration came in, it was one of the things that was on his campaign. One of his issues was that, you know, look, let's try to pull out of the situation and just claim, you know, dust ourselves off and go on. It's it reminds me of that Mark Twain expression where he's talking about war and about how one of the things that the pompous politicians say is that we cannot retire without dishonor. And Twain added to that, said, well, not even a burger could have said that better. You know? And I think to a certain extent that's true, but I think the Nixon administration clearly recognized that fact, and I think that that's one of the reasons that it did go in.
I had a problem with Nixon. Now, mm-hmm. I campaigned for Nixon, and mm-hmm. East Tennessee, you know, that's right. very Republican.
Mm-hmm.
But because I had family members and friends still over there, mm-hmm. he waited. See, my thoughts mm-hmm. were he waited 4 years before he finally got anything
mm-hmm.
done.
Well, yeah. the program there, the Vietnamization program, which was Nixon's.
And it was re-election year again yeah. when he finally got him home.
Right.
I had a problem with that.
Yeah. And the Vietnamization program was, I think, it had honest intentions, but it just simply wasn't going to work. In trying to prop up the South Vietnamese government and that regime, which is really what it was, to be able to defend their own territory, I think was a pipe dream. And I think that was ill-advised. And that's what took so long. They were only willing to give that a try, and it didn't work. So, yeah.